the Christmas candle burning at the front door, filling the house with the aroma of Christmas, stockings dangling perilously over a roaring open fire. The widening of the eyes as you survey the Christmas dinner banquet that lies before you. That feeling of granny stuffing breaking apart in your mouth. And who could forget the turkey stuffing and cranberry sandwiches about 8:30 when you'd promised the world at 3 o'clock that you would never eat again. The storyteller Garrison Keillor was reflecting on some of his warm memories at Christmas and recently claimed this, that you don't have to believe in Jesus to have a great Christmas. Listen to what this writer said. You may decide that instead of Christmas carols, you're going to hold hands and breathe in unison. Christmas will still live in the cockles of your heart, or actually in your neocortex, stored as zillions of neuron impulses. It's your brain that sends tears to your eyes when you smell the saffron cookies that your grandmother used to make or you sing Silent Night. So Christmas is 1, lights, 2, food, 3, song, 4, being with people you like. You simply need no more. But one pastor reflected on what this secular writer thought and said this. Keillor is saying that it doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not. You can still hold hands, you can still breathe in unison, and all the good feelings of Christmas are just a reaction, a chemical reaction in your brain. But he said, this is why that theory doesn't work. He said, I know enough about Garrison Keillor to know that he is very upset with cruelty and prejudice. He writes a lot about that. But if it's really true that there is no God, if there is no supernatural or miracles, and if everything is a function of simple natural causes, if that is all true, then it's also true that love, joy, cruelty and prejudice are just chemical reactions stored in our brain. Keillor is against cruelty and prejudice, but if it's true that if everything is just chemistry, then how in the world can you and I say that there's a moral difference between love and cruelty, between kissing someone and killing someone? Because really we might just be saying they're just all chemical reactions in our neocortex going crazy. So is it about chemistry? Or is it about something else? Or more particularly, is it about someone else? Is the deep longings that we have for Christmas because we're actually made for the baby who was born in Bethlehem? Who was this baby born in Bethlehem? Well, John, as we've just heard in our last reading, is going to tell us a couple of things about who this baby was. Firstly, in our last reading, we heard who this baby was, that he is God. Listen to what John 1 verse 1 says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Think about this staggering claim. John is saying that the baby who was born in Bethlehem was actually not just there at his own birth, but he was there at the birth of the world. At the creation of the world, he was there. So if the staggering truth is that Christmas is not just about chemical reactions in our brain, but it's actually about this baby born in Bethlehem, well, the Bible has this astounding claim that this baby who was born in Bethlehem actually is God. And if he was there at the beginning of the world, does he not then have a claim for authority over our lives? If he was there creating the sun and the moon and the stars and creating you and I, does this little baby who was born not have authority over our lives? Dorothy Sayers wrote a series of detective novels which focused on her fictional character, Lord Peter Wimsey. Sayers' creation, Wimsey, was an aristocrat detective from the 1930s who solved all kinds of crimes. She wrote a whole series of stories and novels about Lord Peter. But then about halfway through her whimsy detective series, a woman suddenly shows up in her novels. Sayers' new character is named Harriet Vine, or Vane. A female mystery writer and one of the very first women to get through Oxford. Harriet and Peter fall in love until that point in the series where whimsy was an unhappy, broken bachelor until Harriet Vane shows up and her love starts to heal his broken soul. It's interesting because Dorothy Sayers, the writer, like her fictional creation, was also one of the first women to graduate from Oxford. Like Harriet Vane, Dorothy Sayers was a writer of mystery novels. Dorothy Sayers looked at her character, Lord Peter Whimsy, and saw that he needed someone to help him out. So who did she put into her story? She put a detective novelist, a woman, and one of the first women to go through Oxford. So who was that? She put herself into her own stories. She looked into the world that she had created as a writer and she fell in love with the chief character, Peter Whimsy, and she wrote herself into the story so that she could heal him. And you know, this Christmas, the staggering truth is that is what God has done with us. This world that he has created because he is God. He sees the brokenness of this story, the brokenness of the narrative of this world that we live in. And he hasn't remained a distant character in the story. No, he's actually really, 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 really written himself into the story. God the Father sent his one and only Son, Jesus, into the world to be our hero, to be our Savior, to be our God. And so this baby born in Bethlehem, he is God, but also secondly, he's the creator of the world. Listen to what John said in chapter 1, verse 3. It says, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. The baby of Bethlehem's the Son of God. He's the creator of the world. And you say, did he remain distant? No, that last story tells us that he's come imminently near to us. So listen to how John reflected on the birth of Jesus. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This baby born in Bethlehem is the reason I believe we have such longings for Christmas. It's not some chemical reaction in our brains. No, there's deep longings that pervade the human heart that we have been built for someone or something else, namely Jesus, because he is God, because he is the creator of everything in this world, but also lastly, because he's the savior of this world. He's the savior of this world. Listen to how John invites us to look at him this Christmas. Look at verse 10 on the screen behind me. Jesus, or he was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And then comes the invitation to you who've just come to church for the first time, to you who haven't been at church in 20 years, to you who have come to church your whole life and yet you've never become a Christian. Read verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In the original Star Trek, the show that has the same plot seemingly every week from week to week, the Enterprise warps through space to a strange planet. They often hear a distress signal. Kirk, Spock, and a crew woman and a few disposable crewmen beam down to investigate. Things normally get messy. Aliens disintegrate the disposable crewmen and close in on the rest of the away team. And at the last moment, Kirk flips out his communicator and says, "Beam me up, Scotty." And the team is instantly transported to safety. And in a similar way, and yet in a very different way, Jesus has created space and everything in it. Naming each star as it hung in the sky. He hears our distress signal, anticipating it before time began. He beams down to earth, no team, just a baby. Just a baby. Just a baby lying in a manger. He grows into a man and takes on all the forces of evil himself on the cross. Messi does not begin to describe the battle he fights. Betrayed, flogged, beaten, and nailed to a cross, instant rescue, just a word away. But instead of saying, "Beam me up," he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Into your hands I commit my spirit." You see, this baby born in Bethlehem isn't just God, though he is. He isn't just the creator of the world, though he is. He's the savior of the world. He's come for men and for women and for boys and girls like you and me here tonight and offers us forgiveness. He offers us a new start. You see, anyone can devise a plan by which good people may go to heaven, but only God can devise a plan where sinners like me and sinners like you can spend an eternity in heaven. What a wonderful decision it would be tonight if you decided to follow this baby born in Bethlehem.